to know.
Doesn't it help you to see that problem laid out on the chalkboard and talk through with your eyes involved? Doesn't it help you to see a map in geography class or a timeline in history class? An image on a screen? Maybe a video? Our brains process information much better if there's a picture to go with the words, and not just words spoken out loud or read off the page in the textbook. Well, in religion class, I find it somewhat challenging to think up a visual display of what the Bible is teaching, or to get my hands on a ready-made picture that will make just the right connection. For example, we don't have a ready-made picture to show us what happened on the first day of creation. God did not capture that image for us, other than a word picture, what we're told in Genesis. I mentioned to you last time I was here that we don't have a color photograph to show us the glory of heaven. But we do have word pictures. Several passages, including what's told in the book of Revelation. Now, our Creator God is fully aware of how He made us. And He understands how we think, how our minds work. Wouldn't He, in His infinite wisdom, then, give us a picture of Himself so that we can relate to Him better? Well, the Bible says He did that. He gave you a picture of Himself in the person of Jesus. I want to share with you two passages on that idea. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Colossians 1:15 likewise speaks of Jesus. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Let's go back to a time when having a picture of God was not necessary. In that perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, God would simply show up in person. God would come to His people face to face. And that encounter, standing in the visible presence of the Almighty Holy God, did not intimidate them one bit. They could handle it because they were holy. Well, you know what happened. Ever since the intrusion of sin, God has had to be the God who stays out of sight. Not for His own sake, but for ours. If He were to come to us in all of His glory, and we in our sinful nature were to look at Him like that, the sight would consume us. It would scare us to death. God is being good to you when He hides Himself. All right, let's move from 6,000 years ago, creation, to 2,000 years ago, the very first Christmas. When God sent Jesus, He also sent the picture. It's going to be a picture of Himself that dispels fear and compels us to meet Him through His Son. We have the example of those shepherds outside Bethlehem on the day Christ was born. When that angel appeared to them with all the heavenly host and the glory of God was quite visible to them, they couldn't stand the sight. Nothing but fear in their hearts. But then perhaps a few hours later, less than a day later, they found that manger. They saw the infant Jesus. And they welcomed sight. They were not at all intimidated by the God who became one of them and was there with them as that newborn Christ child. It's a reason why Jesus came to earth. no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So in the person of Jesus, you get the right picture of God. No, it's not visual, but it still counts. By hearing what Jesus said, by watching what he did, as it is told to us in the Bible, we get a good look at what God is like according to certain characteristics. For example, the Bible says that God is holy, which of course means he doesn't sin. Now, the holiness of God is one of those intimidating things for us to consider, given the fact that we sin all the time. Jesus demonstrated that holiness in a way that would win us. He did more than live a holy life. When he kept every commandment, he made that count as your obedience to God. He did that for you in the face of a constant interference from the devil and antagonism from people who hate him. Let's go to the other characteristic. The Bible says that God's love. Well, Jesus demonstrated divine love in several ways, including how he reached out to all kinds of people, including people despised by other people. Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus the tax collector, the thief on the cross, you and me. If there's any doubt that Jesus truly cares for each one of us, I have one more picture for you. This image is meant to stay with you and be the answer for so many things that we face. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Not Jesus in the manger. Not Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee, but Jesus on the cross. Can you see that image? Not the horrific detail of his crucifixion, but the reason for it. That's how much he cared about you. That's how much he paid for you. That's how valuable you are to him. That's the picture to use when guilt weighs heavy upon us. That's the image to keep in a sharp focus as we deal with our own set of problems, our own form of suffering. Jesus on the cross and also Jesus alive from the grave show you the enduring reason why all your sins are forgiven, and also the reason why God will never forsake you, why Christ will always be with you for help, for presence, for what you need in every crisis, necessity, temptation, trouble, scary moment of life. The list goes on. Use that word picture of Jesus as your clear picture of God. Use that word picture of Jesus to relate to your God by faith, in your prayers, your Bible study, your worship. Use that picture of God in Jesus until that day when he comes back in plain view and we don't need the picture anymore. Let us close our worship today singing the first two stanzas of hymn 352, the first two stanzas.